This is ChestertonRadio.com.
Section 9 of Aspects of Love, an Anthology. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Recording by Tony Addison. The Sonnets by William Shakespeare. 61. Is it thy will thy image should keep open my heavy eyelids to the weary night? Dost thou desire my slumbers should be broken, while shadows like to thee do mock my sight? Is it thy spirit that thou sendest from thee, so far from home into my deeds to pry, to find out shames and idle hours in me, the scope and tenure of thy jealous eye? Oh, no! Thy love, though much, is not so great. It is my love that keeps mine eye awake, mine own true love that doth my rest defeat, to play the watchman ever for thy sake. For thee watch I, whilst thou dost wake elsewhere, from me far off, with others all too near. 62. Sin of self-love possesseth all mine eye, and all my soul, and all my every part, and for this sin there is no remedy, it is so grounded inward in my heart. Methinks no face so gracious is as mine, no shape so true, no truth of such account, and for myself mine own worth do define, as I all other in all worth surmount. But when my glass shows me myself indeed, beated and chopped with tanned antiquity, mine own self-love quite contrary I read, self so self-loving were iniquity. 'Tis thee, myself, that for myself I praise, painting my age with beauty of thy days. 63. Against my love shall be as I am now, with time's injurious hand crushed and o'erworn, when hours have drained his blood and filled his brow with lines and wrinkles, when his youthful morn hath travelled on to age's steepy night, and all those beauties whereof now he's king are vanishing or vanished out of sight, stealing away the treasure of his spring. For such a time do I now fortify against confounding age's cruel knife, that he shall never cut from memory my sweet love's beauty, though my lover's life. His beauty shall in these black lines be seen, and they shall live, and he in them still green. 64. When I have seen, by time's foul hand defaced, the rich proud cost of outworn buried age, when sometime lofty towers I see down raised, and brass eternal slave to mortal rage, when I have seen the hungry ocean gain advantage on the kingdom of the shore, and the firm soil win of the watery main increasing store with loss, and loss with store, when I have seen such interchange of state, or state itself confounded to decay, ruin hath taught me thus to ruminate, that time will come and take my love away. This thought is as a death which cannot choose but weep to have that which it fears to lose. 65. Since brass nor stone nor earth nor boundless sea but sad mortality o'ersways their power, how with this rage shall beauty hold a plea whose action is no stronger than a flower? Oh, how shall summer's honey breath hold out, against the wrackful siege of battering days, when rocks impregnable are not so stout, nor gates of steel so strong but time decays. O fearful meditation, where, alack, shall time's best jewel from time's chest lie hid? Or what strong hand can hold his swift foot back, or who his spoil of beauty can forbid? O none, unless this miracle have might, that in black ink my love may still shine bright. 66. Tired with all these, for restful death I cry, as to behold desert a beggar born, and needy nothing trimmed in jollity, and purest faith unhappily forsworn, and gilded honour shamefully misplaced, and maiden virtue rudely strumpeted, and right perfection wrongfully disgraced, and strength by limping sway disabled, and art made tongue-tied by authority, and folly doctor-like controlling skill, and simple truth miscalled simplicity, and captive good attending captain ill. Tired with all these, from these would I be gone, save that to die I leave my love alone. 67. Ah, wherefore with infection should he live, and with his presence grace impiety, that sin by him advantage should achieve, and lace itself with his society? Why should false painting imitate his cheek, and steal dead seeming of his living hue? Why should poor beauty indirectly seek roses of shadow, since his rose is true? Why should he live, now nature bankrupt is, beggared of blood, to blush through lively veins? For she hath no exchequer now but his, and proud of many lives upon his gains. O him she stores to show what wealth she had in days long since, before these last so bad. 68. Thus is his cheek the map of days outworn, when beauty lived and died as flowers do now, before these bastard signs of fair were born, or durst inhabit on a living brow, before the golden tresses of the dead, the rite of sepulchres was shorn away, to live a second life on second head, ere beauty's dead fleece made another gay. In him those holy antique hours are seen, without all ornament itself and true, making no summer of another's green, robbing no old to dress his beauty new. And him, as for a map, doth nature store, to show false art what beauty was of yore. 69. Those parts of thee that the world's eye doth view want nothing that the thought of hearts can mend. All tongues, the voice of souls, give thee that due, uttering bare truth, even so as foes commend. Thy outward thus with outward praise is crowned, but those same tongues that give thee so thine own, in other accents do this praise confound, by seeing farther than the eye hath shown. They look into the beauty of thy mind, and that in guess they measure by thy deeds. Then churls their thoughts, although their eyes were kind, to thy fair flower at the rank smell of weeds. But why thy odour matcheth not thy show? The soil is this, that thou dost common grow. 70. That thou art blamed shall not be thy defect, for slander's mark was ever yet the fair. The ornament of beauty is suspect, a crow that flies in heaven's sweetest air. So thou be good, slander doth but approve thy worth the greater, being wooed of time, for canker vice the sweetest buds doth love, and thou present'st a pure unstained prime. Thou hast passed by the ambush of young days, either not assailed or victor being charged, yet this thy praise cannot be so thy praise to tie up envy evermore enlarged. If some suspect of ill mask not thy show, then thou alone kingdoms of heart shouldst owe. 71. No longer mourn for me when I am dead, then you shall hear the surly sullen bell give warning to the world that I am fled from this vile world with vilest worms to dwell. Nay, if you read this line, remember not the hand that writ it, for I love you so that I in your sweet thoughts would be forgot if thinking on me then should make you woe. Oh, if, I say, you look upon this verse, when I perhaps compounded am with clay, do not so much as my poor name rehearse, but let your love even with my life decay, lest the wise world should look into your moan and mock you with me after I am gone. 72. Oh, lest the world should task you to recite what merit lived in me, that you should love after my death. Dear love, forget me quite, for you in me can nothing worthy prove, unless you would devise some virtuous lie to do more for me than mine own desert, and hang more praise upon deceased eye than niggard truth would willingly impart. Oh, lest your true love may seem false in this, that you for love speak well of me untrue, my name be buried where my body is, and live no more to shame nor me nor you, for I am shamed by that which I bring forth, and so should you, to love things nothing worth. 73. That time of year thou mayest in me behold, when yellow leaves, or none, or few, do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs where late the sweet bird sang. In me thou seest the twilight of such day as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away, death's second self that seals up all in rest. In me thou seest the glowing of such fire that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as the death-bed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceiv'st, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long. 74. But be contented when that fellow rest, without all bail, shall carry me away. My life hath in this line some interest, which for memorial still with thee shall stay. When thou reviewest this, thou dost review the very part was consecrate to thee. The earth can have but earth, which is his due. My spirit is thine, the better part of me. So then thou hast but lost the dregs of life, the prey of worms, my body being dead, the coward conquest of a wretch's knife, too base of thee to be remembered. The worth of that is that which it contains, and that is this, and this with thee remains. 75. So are you to my thoughts as food to life, or as sweet season showers are to the ground, and for the peace of you I hold such strife as twixt a miser and his wealth is found, now proud as an enjoyer, and anon doubting the filching age will steal his treasure, now counting best to be with you alone, then better that the world may see my pleasure, some time all full with feasting on your sight, and by clean starboard for a look, possessing or pursuing no delight, save what is had or must from you be took. Thus do I pine and surfeit day by day, or gluttoning on all, or all away. 76. Why is my verse so barren of new pride, so far from variation or quick change? Why with the time do I not glance aside to new-found methods and to compound strange? Why write I still, all one, ever the same, and keep invention in a noted weed, that every word doth almost tell my name, showing their birth and where they did proceed? Oh, no, sweet love, I always write of you, and you and love are still my argument. So all my best is dressing old words new, spending again what is already spent. For as the sun is daily new and old, so is my love still telling what is told. 77. Thy glass will show thee how thy beauties wear, thy dial how thy precious minutes waste. These vacant leaves thy mind's imprint will bear, and of this book this learning mayst thou taste. The wrinkles which thy glass will truly show of mouthed graves will give thee memory. Thou by thy dial's shady stealth mayst know time's thievish progress to eternity. Look, what thy memory cannot contain, commit to these waste blanks, and thou shalt find those children nursed, delivered from thy brain, to take a new acquaintance of thy mind. These offices, so oft as thou wilt look, shall profit thee, and much enrich thy book. 78. So oft have I invoked thee for my muse, and found such fair assistance in my verse, as every alien pen hath got my use, and under thee their poesy disperse. Thine eyes, that taught the dumb on high to sing, and heavy ignorance aloft to fly, have added feathers to the learned's wing, and given grace a double majesty. Yet be most proud of that which I compile, whose influence is thine and born of thee. In others' works thou dost but mend the style, and arts with thy sweet graces graced be. But thou art all my art, and dost advance as high as learning my rude ignorance. 79. Whilst I alone did call upon thy aid, my verse alone had all thy gentle grace. But now my gracious numbers are decayed, and my sick muse doth give another place. I grant, sweet love, thy lovely argument deserves the travail of a worthier pen. Yet what of thee thy poet doth invent, he robs thee of and pays it thee again. He lends thee virtue, and he stole that word from thy behaviour. Beauty doth he give, and found it in thy cheek. He can afford no praise to thee, but what in thee doth live. Then thank him not for that which he doth say, since what he owes thee thou thyself dost pay. 80. Oh, how I faint when I of you do write, knowing a better spirit doth use your name, and in the praise thereof spends all his might to make me tongue-tied speaking of your fame. But since your worth wide as the ocean is, the humble as the proudest sail doth bear my saucy bark inferior far to his, on your broad main doth wilfully appear. Your shallowest help will hold me up afloat, whilst he upon your soundless deep doth ride, or being racked, I am a worthless boat, he of tall building and of goodly pride. Then if he thrive, and I be cast away, the worst was this, my love was my decay. End of section 9. Section 8 of Aspects of Love, an Anthology. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Recording by Tony Addison. The Sonnets by William Shakespeare. 41. Those pretty wrongs that liberty commits, when I am some time absent from thy heart, thy beauty and thy years full well befits, for still temptation follows where thou art. Gentle thou art, and therefore to be won. Beauteous thou art, therefore to be assailed. And when a woman woos, what woman's son will sourly leave her till he have prevailed? Ah me, but yet thou mightst my seat forbear, and chide thy beauty and thy straying youth, who lead thee in their riot even there, where thou art forced to break a twofold truth, hers by thy beauty tempting her to thee, thine by thy beauty being false to me. 42. That thou hast her, it is not all my grief, and yet it may be said I loved her dearly, that she hath thee as of my wailing chief, a loss in love that touches me more nearly. Loving offenders thus I will excuse ye. Thou dost love her, because thou knowest I love her, and for my sake even so doth she abuse me, suffering my friend for my sake to approve her. If I lose thee, my loss is my love's gain, and losing her, my friend hath found that loss. Both find each other, and I lose both twain, and both for my sake lay on me this cross. But here's the joy, my friend and I are one. Sweet flattery, then she loves but me alone. 43. When most I wink, then do mine eyes best see, for all the day they view things unrespected. But when I sleep, in dreams they look on thee, and darkly bright are bright in dark directed. Then thou, whose shadow shadows doth make bright, how would thy shadow's form happy show to the clear day with thy much clearer light, when to unseeing eyes thy shade shines so? How would, I say, mine eyes be blessed made by looking on thee in the living day, when in dead night thy fair imperfect shade through heavy sleep on sightless eyes doth stay? All days are nights to see till I see thee, and night's bright days when dreams do show thee me. 44. If the dull substance of my flesh were thought, injurious distance should not stop my way, for then despite of space I would be brought from limits far remote where thou dost stay. No matter then, although my foot did stand upon the farthest earth removed from thee, for nimble thought can jump both sea and land as soon as think the place where he would be. But ah, thought kills me that I am not thought, to leap strange lengths of miles when thou art gone. But that so much of earth and water wrought, I must attend time's leisure with my moon, receiving naught by element so slow but heavy tears, badges of either's woe. 45. The other two, slight air and purging fire, are both with thee wherever I abide. The first my thought, the other my desire, these present absent with swift motion slide. For when these quicker elements are gone, in tender embassy of love to thee, my life being made of four, with two alone, sinks down to death, oppressed with melancholy, until life's composition be recured by those swift messengers returned from thee, who even but now come back again assured of thy fair health, recounting it to me. This told, I joy, but then no longer glad, I send them back again, and straight grow sad. 46. Mine eye and heart are at a mortal war, how to divide the conquest of thy sight? Mine eye, my heart, thy picture sight would bar, my heart, mine eye, the freedom of that right. My heart doth plead that thou in him dost lie, a closet never pierced with crystal eyes. But the defendant doth that plea deny, and says in him thy fair appearance lies. To side this title is unpanelled, a quest of thoughts, all tenants to the heart, and by their verdict is determined the clear eye's moiety and the dear heart's part. As thus, mine eye's due is thy outward part, and my heart's right thy inward love of heart. 47. Betwixt mine eye and heart a league is took, and each doth good turns now unto the other. When that mine eye is famished for a look, or heart in love with sighs himself doth smother, with my love's picture then my eye doth feast, and to the painted banquet bids my heart. Another time mine eye is my heart's guest, and in his thoughts of love doth share a part. So, either by thy picture or my love, thyself away art present still with me, for thou not farther than my thoughts canst move, and I am still with them, and they with thee. Or if they sleep, thy picture in my sight awakes my heart to heart's and eye's delight. 48. How careful was I when I took my way, each trifle under truest bars to thrust, that to my use it might unused stay from hands of falsehood in sure wards of trust. But thou, to whom my jewels trifles are most worthy comfort, now my greatest grief, thou best of dearest and mine only care, art left the prey of every vulgar thief. Thee have I not locked up in any chest, save where thou art not, though I feel thou art, within the gentle closure of my breast, from whence at pleasure thou mayst come and part, and even thence thou wilt be stolen, I fear, for truth proves thievish for a prize so dear. 49. Against that time, if ever that time come, when I shall see thee frown on my defects, when as thy love hath cast his utmost sum, call to that audit by advised respects, against that time when thou shalt strangely pass, and scarcely greet me with that sun thine eye, when love converted from the thing it was, shall reasons find of settled gravity, against that time do I ensconce me here, within the knowledge of mine own desert, and this my hand against myself uprear, to guard the lawful reasons on thy part. To leave poor me, thou hast the strength of laws, since why to love, I can allege no cause. 50. How heavy do I journey on the way, when what I seek my weary travels end, doth teach that ease and that repose to say, thus far the miles are measured from thy friend. The beast that bears me, tired with my woe, plods dully on to bear that weight in me, as if by some instinct the wretch did know his rider loved not speed, being made from thee. The bloody spur cannot provoke him on, that sometimes anger thrusts into his hide, which heavily he answers with a groan, more sharp to me than spurring to his side. For that same groan doth put this in my mind, my grief lies onward, and my joy behind. 51. Thus can my love excuse the slow offence of my dull bearer, when from thee I speed. From where thou art, why should I haste me thence, till I return, of posting is no need? Or what excuse will my poor beast then find, when swift extremity can seem but slow? Then should I spur, though mounted on the wind, in winged speed no motion shall I know. Then can no horse with my desire keep pace. Therefore desire, of perfect love being made, shall neigh no dull flesh in his fiery race, but love for love thus shall excuse my jade. Since from thee going he went wilful slow, towards thee I'll run, and give him leave to go. 52. So am I as the rich, whose blessed key can bring him to his sweet uplocked treasure, the which he will not every hour survey, for blunting the fine point of seldom pleasure. Therefore are feasts so solemn and so rare, since seldom coming in that long year set, like stones of worth they thinly placed are, or captain jewels in the carcanet. So is the time that keeps you as my chest, or as the wardrobe which the robe doth hide, to make some special instant special blessed, by now unfolding his imprisoned pride. Blessed are you, whose worthiness gives scope, being had to triumph, being lacked to hope. 53. What is your substance? Whereof are you made, that millions of strange shadows on you tend? Since every one hath every one shade, and you but one can every shadow lend. Describe Adonis, and the counterfeit is poorly imitated after you. On Helen's cheek all art of beauty set, and you in Grecian tires are painted new. Speak of the spring and foison of the year, the one doth shadow of your beauty show, the other as your bounty doth appear, and you in every blessed shape we know. In all external grace you have some part, but you like none, none you, for constant heart. 54. Oh, how much more doth beauty beauteous seem by that sweet ornament which truth doth give. The rose looks fair, but fairer we it deem for that sweet odour which doth in it live. The canker blooms are full as deep a dye as the perfumed tincture of the roses hang on such thorns and play as wanton lie when summer's breath their masked buds discloses. But for their virtue only is their show, they live unwooed and unrespected fade, die to themselves. Sweet roses do not so, of their sweet deaths are sweetest odours made. And so of you, beauteous and lovely youth, when that shall fade, my verse distills your truth. 55. Not marble, nor the gilded monuments of princes, shall outlive this powerful rhyme, but you shall shine more bright in these contents than unswept stone besmeared with sluttish time, when wasteful war shall statues overturn and boils root out the work of masonry, nor Mars his sword nor war's quick fire shall burn the living record of your memory. Gainst death and all oblivious enmity shall you pace forth, your praise shall still find room even in the eyes of all posterity that wear this world out to the ending doom. So till the judgment that yourself arise, you live in this and dwell in lovers' eyes. 56. Sweet love, renew thy force, be it not said thy edge should blunter be than appetite, which but to-day by feeding is allayed. tomorrow sharpened in his former might. So, love, be thou, although today thou fill thy hungry eyes, even till they wink with fullness, tomorrow see again, and do not kill the spirit of love with a perpetual dullness. Let this sad interim like the ocean be, which parts the shore where two contracted new come daily to the banks, that when they see return of love, more blessed may be the view. Or call it winter, which being full of care, makes summer's welcome thrice more wished, more rare. 57. Being your slave, what should I do but tend upon the hours and times of your desire? I have no precious time at all to spend, nor services to do till you require. Nor dare I chide the world without end hour, whilst I, my sovereign, watch the clock for you. Nor think the bitterness of absence sour, when you have bid your servant once adieu. Nor dare I question with my jealous thought, where you may be, or your affairs suppose, but like a sad slave stay, and think of naught, save where you are, how happy you make those. So true a fool is love, that in your will, though you do anything, he thinks no ill. 58. That God forbid, that made me first your slave, I should in thought control your times of pleasure, or at your hand the account of hours to crave, being your vassal, bound to stay your leisure. Oh, let me suffer, being at your beck, the imprisoned absence of your liberty, and patience tame to sufferance bide each check, without accusing you of injury. Be where you list, your charter is so strong, that you yourself may privilege your time, to what you will, to you it doth belong, yourself to pardon of self-doing crime. I am to wait, though waiting so be hell, not blame your pleasure, be it ill or well. 59. If there be nothing new but that which is, hath been before, how are our brains beguiled, which laboring for invention bear amiss the second burthen of a former child? All that record could, with a backward look, even of 500 courses of the sun, show me your image in some antique book, since mind at first in character was done, that I might see what the old world could say to this composed wonder of your frame, where we are mended, or where better they, or whether revolution be the same. Oh, sure I am the wits of former days, to subjects worse have given admiring praise. 60. Like as the waves make towards the pebbled shore, so do our minutes hasten to their end, each changing place with that which goes before, in sequent toil all forwards do contend. Nativity, once in the mane of light, crawls to maturity, wherewith being crowned, crooked eclipses, gainst his glory fight, and time that gave doth now his gift confound. Time doth transfix the flourish set on youth, and delves the parallels in beauty's brow, feeds on the rarities of nature's truth, and nothing stands but for his scythe to mow. And yet to times in hope my verse shall stand, praising thy worth despite his cruel hand. End of section 8.
You are listening to Chesterton Radio at chestertonradio.com.